This is Sean with Voices Live On, and we've got a legend on the phone. He burns through the world. He helps the world get better. He's a man they used to call Burnside, and this is how he wants to walk out. That was good. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Doing absolutely great. It's so good to hear from you.
All right. So for the people who don't know, this is Dan Burnside. Dan, what pledge class were you? What year? Fall, spring?
So I was spring of 1996, Beta Xi.
Okay.
That was my junior year in college.
Oh.
Couldn't have been. Yeah, I know I waited a little bit, but couldn't have been happier that I still did it.
Well, I think you just might have liked hanging out with the younger guys as a superior. Is that it? Maybe? Possibly.
No, not really.
No.
I mean, the guys that got me interested in it were like Ryan Anovich, Slav, Wolfie, Ryan Wolf, Brandon King. My sophomore year, I used to hang out with them at different parties and just knew them through other channels, and they convinced me to come down and check it out, and I was like, yeah, all right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so what are you doing now? What's your current career, and where do you live?
So I live in Maryland now. I've been here 17 years, 03, moved out here in 03, 02, actually, and then built a house out here in 03. And originally from Indiana, born in Fort Wayne, grew up in a super small town, you know, LaGrange, Indiana. Ball State was, you know, where a lot of my friends were going, and I looked at every option under the sun and just ended up choosing Ball State. I went there, I visited, I loved it. I knew I had friends, I knew I was close to home, and ended up there. Glad I did, because that's where I eventually met my wife, that is still my wife today. And you know, after that, we lived in Indy for about 7 years after I graduated. And then after my daughter was born, we moved out here, which is where she's from. She lives out here. We live over on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And it's been great. You know, I'll always be a Hoosier, but I totally enjoy the time that we've had out here.
That's the way. What are you doing?
So I'm in a sales world. I recently just joined a startup about 5 months ago. That actually works with elderly people and allowing them to stay at home, which is interesting to kind of what some of the things you talked about and what you were doing. And so far that's going well, but it's always a gamble with the startup, and I was willing to take that. We were in a position that I could. So that's currently what I'm doing. I am the director of our service provider network, providing in-home care for elderlies so they can stay at home.
That is beautiful. We can save their life story over the phone.
That's right.
All right, so let's take it back. So when you started and you know, you got into pledgeship, what are some of those first memories, and who are some of the other guys in your pledge class?
So we had a small pledge class. It was myself, Mike Monsell, Mark Gerald, Nate Jasek, Jason Llewellyn, Jason McCamick. Ben was in there. He ended up leaving the fraternity, but Ben was great. Dan Recamp, Jeremy Johnson, and I think that covers the nine. So,
okay.
Yeah, we had a small class, but it was great.
All right, so, you know, how would you compare the guys to the other guys in the other houses? What really stood out, why you really wanted to go into the house?
So when I decided to do it, I was dating Erin Lefke at the time, and she was an AOPI. She was actually the president of the AOPIs at the time, and she encouraged me to go Greek, but encouraged me to check every place out. So I checked every place out, and I thought that's the only way to be fair, especially kind of rushing late. And every time I went to the SAE house, something just drew me out. It was just, it felt normal to me. Like I could go in there and there was nobody was being showy. Nobody was being flashy. Nobody was putting on a show. You were one of the first, I don't even know if you remember this, but I showed up with Jeremy Johnson. There's two Jeremy Johnsons. So this was the blonde Jeremy Johnson, that AKA Doogie.
Yep.
And Dan Recamp, that we showed up at the front door, knocked on it because there was a pledge event. And either we had the time off or you guys had the time off on when it was to start. I don't know, but you answered the door in nothing but a pair of red sweatpants. You're like, oh, there's a pledge event tonight? We're like, yeah, that's what it says. You're like, well, come on in. We hung out in your room for a little bit, and then things kicked up, and I left there at the same time, obviously, with Jeremy Johnson and Dan Recamp, and all three of us was just like, that's it. We don't need to go anywhere else.
Did I put on a shirt?
No, you never did.
Oh, that is something that I can vaguely remember.
Yeah, you never did. You had a downstairs room right by the door. You were the only one that heard us knocking on the door.
Yeah, I did. That's, wow. That's hilarious. Yeah, that room was on the back side of the house and right next to the bathrooms. It was a
Yeah, exactly. It was right next to it. That's the one.
That's so funny. I had, you know, remember you put like highlighter in like the liquor bottles and glow, like, you know, stupid 90s, stupid 90s.
Yeah.
I forgot about that room. Oh, crazy. Or the details of it. Anyway, all right, so as you progressed into the house, what are some of the funny things you remember happening that are flashbacks of guys doing weird, funny, crazy stuff?
Oh, my God. Our entire pledge ship. We had PJ Kunis as our pledge trainer and Tony Playa. Although Playa kind of tapered off and it was more PJ. And he, all by himself, was a trip. You know, every pledge meeting, everything that we did, he just was a great pledge trainer. So was Tony Playa, don't get me wrong. And I just, from the start, like everything just continued on from the start. Probably one of my favorite things, though, right out of the gates, was the pride that the SAEs took in the sports trophy. And I believe it was, I don't know, like 8 or 9 years running that we had won the Greek sports trophy when I got there. And I'm like, sign me up. And every single event that we did, every single sporting event, not only did we have fun doing it, but we also won a lot, and it was just fantastic. So it's moments like that that I remember, you know, very vaguely. I guess in the house itself, I really enjoyed the way chapters were carried and how they handled pledge classes. Because it seemed very consistent with what they did in the past. And then as I was there beyond that, we remained consistent to that. And it was just, at the end of it, you know, during pledge ship, there's times where you're like, okay, I don't know if these individuals have my back or not, except for the, you know, numbers in your pledge class. And then you quickly realize, no, the entire house has your back. And that's a feeling that's just hard to replace.
Right. Right. All right. So let's try to be a little specific on situations when somebody did something in the kitchen or outside or on the dance floor or out in the front yard. Like, what are some flashback specific situations that you just remember as being a hilarious moment?
Hilarious moments. Okay. I might call a few people out. Not a lot of people out. One of them is my pledge brother, so it's okay. You'll probably end up getting him on this to do this too. But one of the moments I always enjoyed was hanging out in Shaver had that room where the front porch was over it. So we would always sit out there with chairs and sit on the porch and have beers, and other people would be in the front lawn playing beer traffic.
Yep.
Great times doing all of that. Being in the basement when Nips every weekend was going to put the biggest band on the planet. And
Green Day!
Yeah. So enjoying the basement and those parties were out of this world. One of my favorite moments, and I won't get in trouble for this, but we were pledges, and Virginia was our cook at the time. And so for all the active brothers that were still in class, she would keep saves for them. And we were done with a call board one time, and Mark Gerald was so hungry. He'll kill me for this. He was so hungry. He's like, I can't help myself. So he took a couple plates of staves and went out behind the dumpster behind the garage at the SAE house and sat there by himself leaning against the dumpster eating the staves.
Wait, eating the what? What did you call it?
The saves, like when she would make plates for everybody.
Oh. Like
dinner was normally served and they weren't home yet. She would save plates. So we've always called them the saves.
So he was snagging the saves and somebody didn't get to savor their saved meal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could go on and on, but there's a lot I probably shouldn't disclose without an NDA agreement or something.
Sure. What about, like... some outside of the house, around campus, or road trip scenarios?
Yeah, so this almost derailed my relationship with my wife when she lived at Beacon Hill Apartments. And I went over there, and I went in her house, her apartment, and I started shutting all the blinds. She's like, what are you doing? Like, you don't understand. They're about to kidnap me. She's like, no. She's like, they can't do that. That's not allowed. You know, she was being prim and proper. I'm like, oh, trust me, they can do it, and they're going to find a way. And I was like, just if anybody answers the door, I'm not here. She's like, I'm not participating in this. And sure enough, she didn't participate in it. So I was caught, and then we ended up road tripping into the University of Illinois. And I wish I could name everybody that was in that van. I don't really recall. I believe Travis Powers was driving us. I think Mark Pelletier was in there. Of course, my pledge class was in there. At least everybody that got caught. And it ended up being just like a phenomenal weekend. You know, completely enjoyed it. And it's at the end of it is when you realize how awesome it was. At the beginning is when you're like, holy crap, they're gonna kidnap me, you know. So it was just moments like that I really enjoy, because I'm the type of guy that likes to live in the moment,
right?
But there's so many in the house that I could go back to, even when you're in you know, your pledge ship call boards. They're all fun when they make you line up in the kitchen and you know, have to answer questions for the actives. It's all fun, and they're making, you know, they have great purpose for what they're asking you, and it's just great how the outcome always works out.
What about Dondo doing a little Rapper's Delight?
Dondo always does Rapper's Delight. I listened to him talk the other night, and I was like, he was a staple at every wedding. To this day, I cannot hear that song without thinking or picturing Dondo singing this at multiple weddings, multiple dances. Just anytime it came on, we were all like, Dondo!
I remember, like, he'd get, you know, somebody throw him up on their shoulders, and he's like, then bouncing above the crowd with the microphone. And you're just just awesome. All right, so after school, what are some situations after college that you've been able to reconnect with the guys?
Well, I've stayed in touch with quite a few. I know everybody moves away, but, you know, with social media and everything, it's made it quite a bit easier. And Mechanic, one of my pledge brothers, he actually lives in Edgewater, Maryland, not far from me. He ended up joining the Navy and lived in Virginia for a while, and now he lives over in Edgewater. And we haven't seen each other as much as we would have liked because of COVID. But now that that's opening up, you know, I'll probably start hanging out with him more, even though we did throughout it a few times. But just like him and I, he'd always come over and see the family. You know, Pelletier, Gerald, they'd make trips out here. Just good times all around. And even more than that, even if I don't talk to somebody for quite some time, I know I can pick up the phone and call them if I just need to chat or – God forbid I need anything, like, I have no doubt that they're there. Like you, I could probably call you tomorrow and just be like, Kirker, man, I need a favor. You'd be like, yeah, man, what's up?
You could call me after we get off this call.
Well, when a favor pops up, I may be calling you, buddy.
All right, how did it prepare you, make you a better man for the real world?
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's one of my favorite moments as progressing through the chapter and getting initiated was, in my pledge class, I was the first one to, I actually think I was the first one to go when we had to recite The True Gentleman.
Yep.
And all I wanted to do was nail that because I believed every word of it. And sure enough, I got down there, and you want to talk about sweaty palms, your suit jacket getting sweat through it, and I nailed it. And the reaction after that, I'm not sure I've ever seen a reaction like that ever. In any sporting event that might be a last-second buzzer beater, a last-second touchdown thrown, you know, any of that. I look back, I'm going to be 47 next month. I look back over the years, and I'm like, I'm not sure anything will compare to that. The sound in that basement and just the gratitude and appreciation was, it's something that will never leave me.
That's awesome.
And so I live by that to this day. If a lady enters the room, I stand up. I'll be around a lot of people. They don't stand up. They're like, what are you doing? I'm like, a lady just entered the room. You stand up. That's what you do. So I just still continue to abide by that. And I think that's helped me through work, through personal life, through my own family life. You know, just everything was about having fun, but being a good person. Right. And that's what really hit home to me.
Right. Right. Well, is there anything else you'd really like to add, just kind of overall about this, or, you know, about hearing some of the other guys' interviews, or just something else you want to share about the memories?
Yeah, so, I mean, listening to the other guys was great. You know, I did that the other night. It was like a complete time where I could just sit back and relax, and I laughed and smiled, and I was like, oh, boy. I know for darn sure they had a bunch more stories they could have shared, too, that they probably didn't want out there, which we all do, but that's okay. Those are ones we tell around a bonfire when we actually do get together. But just a fantastic experience. For anybody who would watch these, the voices of SAE that's hesitating, like I was hesitating when I was in college, I didn't have this to listen to. You know, I listened to people directly, like Slav and Wolfie. And I heard everything that they said, and I took it to heart. So I hope that younger people looking at this will listen to not only the alumni, but also the current actives. And I think they'll get a really, really good understanding of, at the end of the day, there's a common denominator why everybody's there. And I really think that will hold strong. So I think what you're doing is a fantastic thing. You know, I mean, I don't know who else does anything like this. So massive kudos to you, man. Mad respect for doing it. And I'm so happy to see everybody volunteering. I think that just says a whole lot about our house. And it dates back. I don't know how far back you've gone to get alumni, but you've certainly got a lot of them. And I think that's fantastic.
Do you happen to remember the Novi Award?
I do not. I was not there then.
Well, there's an award that could be given, and you know, essentially it was named after one of the first classes that ever went through. And right after I first started posting these on the alumni page, there's two Novi brothers. One was in the Alpha class, and one was in the Gamma, I believe. And one of the Gamma contacted me, Facebook Messenger, said there's an old book that's got the older 70s, 80s guys contact info, and he was going to try to, you know, give that to me or help it or whatever. But the bigger picture is that if you know, besides listening to your boys, you start listening to some real old school stuff from a guy you didn't know, that just, yeah, it's almost haunting in a way, you know? It's almost like, mm-hmm, happened in the same place, the same location, the same blah, 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 but that happened this year and this happened 20 years later, 30 years later, da, da, da. It's like hearing all the ghosts tell all the tales in a way. It's kind of, it's big, awesome, you know, fun for me to do this, but just, I see the bigger picture and how it's going to engage the alum. And the real goal of this whole freaking thing is to engage enough alum to get them motivated enough so a big check campaign happens and we get a new house.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it wouldn't. I just think it's fantastic. I mean, it would have helped me tremendously, but I didn't even need that at the time because I had enough of the older individuals around me, you know, convince me. They're like, yeah, you should try this out.
And, right.
You know, the rest is history after that. I've got lifelong friends and confidants, and I wouldn't replace it for the world.
Well, Phi Alpha, I appreciate your time, Burnside. You were always one of my favorite guys, even though we were pretty much the same age, but I just had been there, you know.
Yeah. You appeared older in the house because I rush late.
Right. Yeah, but we still were pretty much eye to eye with all of the motivation and the fun and
yeah,
whatever.
And you know what, Kirker, you guys were great to me because I graduated in 96 and my wife was traveling with AOPI, like, as a consultant. And I didn't really want to go home, not for anything different besides I didn't want to get stuck in that grind and just, like, get an old job back. Be like, yeah, this is home, I'm comfortable. Like, I knew there was more out there than my small town, and the house was like, hey, why don't you move in? I said, as an alumni? They're like, yeah, sure, why not? So I lived there for a full year after I graduated. It was great. I felt like John Bell for a little bit.
Dude, I didn't even realize that. I was there. I mean, I left spring of 97, or summer of 97 is when I was really finally left campus, but that's hilarious.
Yeah,
I didn't realize you were crazy. Already graduated and kicking it. And
They'd asked me to be chapter advisor, and I was like, are you sure you want me to be chapter advisor? I was like, it may have been more out of a desperation move, but either way, I was like, hey, whatever I can do to help the house. And so that was my final year there, like 1997. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that's something that nobody really gets to enjoy, not having to go to any classes and just living in the... That's like Will Ferrell, bro. I mean, you know?
It is. I did have a job.
Streak in the quad. Well, whatever. You're living in a fraternity. Job is different than the stress of school. You're like, I got a job. I'm making money. Who cares?
I know.
You got...
One of my buddies like, so you graduated. What are you doing? I was like, I'm living in my fraternity house. They're like, no kidding. How awesome is that? I was like, it's super awesome.
I'm glad that came out on this, man. I didn't realize that, and that's pretty freaking great.
You were there that year.
I know. That's what I'm saying is I didn't realize, me now, looking back, if you asked me that, I wouldn't have put that together. I'd be like, yeah, I remember you there. I didn't know that you were an alum.
Right.
I mean,
you
I did.
Like, hey, here's Burnside. He just rushed 2 years.
At the time, I did. But 25 years later, yeah, it's a little foggy.
Yeah, yeah.
A little foggy.
Yeah. Things tend to cloud up a little bit as we get older, sure.
That's right. All right. Well, listen, man. File Alpha, I'm going to close this one out, but just stay on the line. And it was great talking with you, Burnside.
Yeah. File Alpha, Kirker. And file Alpha to everybody else out here that's doing this.
Right on.